got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we cannot be defeated, 'cause we've got the power in the name of the Lord.
Good morning. It's time for today's message from the Flora Assembly of God at 730 Seminary Street in Flora. The Flora Assembly of God has Sunday school this morning at 9:30. Sunday morning worship begins at 10:30, including a children's service. And join them for Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. Now, here is today's message from God's Word.
Good morning. This is the day that we are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. He is alive. He is our God that is living. And the thing is, it's something to where so many people, you know, might think that that's not true. But I know within my soul and my body, I know that He is alive, and He dwells within us if we are a child of God. We all have heard the Easter story and read it in God's Word, and it's in there several, you know, different places. But it says, you know, before He even went to the Last Supper or anything, He was anointed, you know. Well, I'm just going to read it. It's in Matthew, the 26th chapter, the 6th verse. It says, "Now, when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto Him a woman, having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on His head as He sat at meat. But His disciples saw it, and they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." When Jesus understood it, He said unto them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always." Meaning that, he was getting ready to go for the crucifixion. He was getting ready to, he was being prepared. And many times God will, excuse me, He will put us in a place and have us go through things that He's preparing us for the next step. He's preparing us to go ahead. And, you know, then it goes over and it talks about where He had the last supper with His disciples. And, you know, how He broke bread and he took the bread and the wine and the grape juice, and He went and had it to where He was telling them, "This is My body." We do this in church, you know, when we take communion. "This is My body." And so many times I sit back and I wonder, when we take that communion, do we really, really know that that's representing Jesus' body? Do we really realize that that's representing His blood that He shed for us upon Calvary? It's something to where if you really think about that before you take it, it means so much more. And, you know, the thing is, it's something to where it's awesome if we would really realize that when we hold that cracker or that wafer in our hand, that was representing Jesus. That's representing that blood that He shed for us with the juice. You know, when you take communion this today, or, you know, if you take it, take and think about that. Lord, thank You for sharing Your life with us. Thank You for taking upon the sins of our sins so that we might have eternal life. Thank You, Lord, for that. You know, so many times we kind of just go through life and we think, well, it's something to where we think things are owed to us or something. And things are not owed to us. Things are, you know, it's something to where God is where He loves us so much that He sent his only son. And anyway, getting back to the each step that Jesus went through, it was for a purpose. You know, like when he went into the garden. He went into the garden and he asked the disciples to watch with him and to pray. And they couldn't even stay awake. They couldn't even pray for an hour with Jesus. But Jesus came and he went before the Father three times and he said, Father, it was where he said, Father, you know, let this cup pass from me, you know, but not my will, but thine be done. He was giving complete submission. You know, so many times we don't give God complete submission. We want to do the things we want to do. We want to go the places we want to go. It's something to where we want to get self in the way and we don't allow God to do completely what he wants in our life. It's something to where we do things out of maybe obligation or things that we think we have to do. And that's not the right reason or right thing to do. But if you think about it, Jesus had a free will where he could have said, I don't want to do this. Lord, Father, I don't want to do this. But it wasn't like that. He said, Lord, whatever, not my will, but thine be done. You know, so many times we need to pray that prayer. When we get down ready to pray and start to pray and say, well, Lord, I'd like to have this, or I'd like to go here, or I'd like to do this. It should be, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Let me do what you'd have me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you'd have me to do. That's what he's wanting us to do today. You know, he sacrificed his whole life for us. He took upon those sins of the world and our sins. And the thing is, it's something to wear so that we might have eternal life. And, you know, it goes back and it talks about where the soldiers, where Pilate went and gave them unto the soldiers, and how they took those crown of thorns and they placed them on his head and they literally mocked him. But the thing is, it's something to where, do we mock Jesus a lot of times? Do we sin knowing that we're doing something wrong? Do we do things to the point that we sit back and say, oh, Lord, please forgive me. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to hurt that person. But the thing is, it's something to, as you're walking in God, and I know I say this a lot, but if you're in the Word and you're studying and you're praying and you're reading God's Word, and you're going to, things that come out of your mouth may not be the same as what they would if you're walking in the flesh. You know, what you put into your heart is what's going to come out. That's something to where, think about. You know, whatever goes into our mind, if we don't cast down those thoughts and imaginations, that's what we're going to dwell on and think on. And eventually it's not going to be good, or, you know, or it could be good that comes out of it. But it's something to where they placed those thorns upon his head, and then they put those stripes. They struck his back with those rugged rocks and glass and took that and demolished his back, so to speak. And each one of those things that went in his back was for our healing of different things and different diseases. It's something to where we know that God is in control and that he has everything in his hands. But sometimes we're not healed because of words that we've spoke. You know, things that we have said. And the thing is, we don't really realize that. It goes back to, you know, we have power of life and death in the tongue. And, you know, it's something people say, oh, well, that's just silly. Well, I believe that with all my heart, because I know for a fact several things that has happened because people have spoke it. And what it does, it's where the enemy has the tools to take and use those things. But in this particular thing with Jesus, he took those stripes upon our back for our healing. And the thing is, it goes on down to the crucifixion. You know, they took him to Golgotha, and they put him on a tree on the cross. And Golgotha was a place that it was called, that was said to be a place of skulls. And, you know, it's something where it goes down and they gave him drink, but what they did is they gave him vinegar. Well, vinegar is just going to make you more thirstier, and they knew that. They were just torturing him. All these things were all because he loved us so much, he took those things and gave his life for us. It talks about, you know, I'm going to go to the 27th chapter. At the 45th verse, it says, "Now from the sixth hour, which was about noon," you know, they say, "there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of them who stood there, when they heard that, they thought he was calling for Elijah. And it goes on down, and you know, he gives up the ghost, and it was where he yielded his, it says in the 50th verse, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yield up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did shake, and the rocks rent, and the graves of and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. You know, today we would be scared to death probably. But the thing is, when those graves were open, when Jesus was crucified on that cross, but that's not where it ended. He was placed in a tomb, and, you know, they went to prepare, Joseph had put him in the tomb and prepared his body for burial and everything. But when they came, he was gone. He wasn't there. His clothes were folded. And just like he came out of that grave and he rose from the grave for us, he is coming back for a church, for a people that's ready. Not a church, not a denomination, but for a people that's ready. Are we ready? Are we ready to meet him? This should be the most joyful day that we celebrate throughout the whole year. It's where he rose from that grave and he gave his life for us, and he is risen. He's alive. You know, many churches will sing that song today. He's alive. He's alive. And, you know, and he is alive. You can feel him in your being when you're praying. You can feel him being within you when you commune with him. He is a God that has where we can sense him and know that he is with us. You know, and when he left us, he told us that he was going to give us a comforter. And that comforter was the Holy Spirit. And he's still here with us today. You know, he lives and dwells and lives within us if we have accepted Jesus as our personal Savior. If we've asked Jesus to come into our heart and ask him to forgive us of all our sins, Jesus lives within us and the Holy Spirit lives within us. What greater gift that could you have ever received? It's something to where Jesus lives within us. He loves us, but we have to do our part. And there's only one way that we can go, only one way, and that's through Jesus. We don't have to do any rituals or anything. All we have to do, it says, the word says, to believe on the Lord Jesus and ye shall be saved. But we have to start walking a walk that he would want us to walk, to walk in the footsteps that he would want us to walk in. Today, think about that. Think of what he sacrificed. We have not sacrificed anything for him. He is coming back for a church, he is coming back for people that are ready. He is coming back for us that have asked him to forgive us of our sins. The board tells us that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins if we ask. Let's be joyful today. Let's have a celebration. Our God is alive and well. Our God is with us. He is living within us. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, that you are alive and living within us. I thank you, Lord, that you are the greatest sacrifice that the Father gave us. But Lord, I thank you for doing that. I thank you, Lord, for giving us abundant life that we might be where we live in heaven with you. Lord, that we have a choice to choose Jesus or the devil. And Lord, I beg and ask, Lord, that many, many, that all will accept you as their personal Savior. Lord, we thank you and praise you and just love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to today's message from the Flora Assembly of God at 730 Seminary Street in Flora. Sunday school is at 9:30 this morning, and Sunday morning worship service, including a children's sermon, begins at 10:30. Join them for Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. Have a blessed day.
We've got the power. In the name of the Lord.